Good morning again. Good morning. Okay, I want to ask if you can just pray with me as we begin to look into the Word of the Lord. Father, Lord, we humbly come before you, Lord. And we realize, Lord, that even though sometimes we come to your Word and we can read it and we can dissect it, and we can read all the commentaries. But Father, Lord, we understand that, Lord, it's still the supernatural work of your Holy Spirit that illuminates the mind. And it is you, Lord, that takes a simple, simple message and makes it, Lord, into something profound. So Father, Lord, we, as your children, Lord, we ask for that this morning. That, Lord, you would just take this very simple message that I have before me, and Lord, that you would make it profound because your Spirit is speaking, because your presence is here, because your Spirit is opening up minds and allowing us to see, Lord, the full wonders of who you are and what you're trying to say to us through your word. So, Father, Lord, we ask that you would give us the ears to hear and the eyes to see what is in your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, this morning when we were singing songs, I was thinking, you know, songs has always been a very powerful tool all throughout human civilization, right? Ever since time started. And songs, there are a lot of different applications to songs, a lot of different uses for songs. And we know that songs can help people with memory retention, let's say. You know, your brain perhaps cannot memorize everything there is out there, but if it's all laced into a song, if there's a melody to it, then perhaps it's possible to have all that information in your head. You know, not too long ago, I was looking at this YouTube video. Cindy was showing it to me. And it's this Caucasian professor from Yale or Harvard somewhere, very distinguished fellow. And he was teaching Asian studies. And so he came up with this song that includes all the different dynasties in China, right? And the song, as you kind of sing the song, it's in chronological order. And so after a while, I started kind of like, you know, I played it again, right? Replay, right? And after a while, I think I got some of those dynasties down, you know? And it works, you know? Because how else will you memorize all those dynasties that span for centuries upon centuries? And in school, you know, we teach little children, you know, songs to help them learn the alphabets, right? You all learned that before, right? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Let's sing it together. No, I'm not doing that. But when you look at the Bible here, you know, the whole creation account of Genesis is written in the form of a song so that people back then can memorize large chunks of the Torah because it's written in a format of a song. And so besides memory retention, songs are also used for another powerful purpose. It's also used to define or prolong a particular culture of that particular time. You know, we see that in rap songs that promote that, you know, street, urban culture. Or if it's a different genre of heavy metal, it's for that particular culture. You know, for some of you, you know, as I look at you, you know, if you heard of songs that's from the Backstreet Boys, let's say, then all of a sudden reminds you of the 90s, right? Backstreet Boys. And then if let's say a musician like Beyonce, you know, speaks to you, then that tells all of us you weren't born too long ago. You know, when Cindy and I listen to, once in a while, we hear, you know, George Michael's, right? Or the Pet Shop Boys. All of a sudden it brings us back to the high school days when we were young. I remember one of my seminary classes, you know, we were sitting there learning about theology, of course, and I remember there was a couple of guys there, you know, they were humming to this song, John Lennon's song, called Imagine. And it all started with this one particular, you know, middle-aged guy in the back of the class, and as soon as he started to hum that song, you know, a couple guys that's around the same age as him quickly turned around and just started smiling, and it's like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. You know? And then before you know it, they started all saying the lyrics, you know? Imagine all the people, right? You know, living the life of peace. Woohoo! I still remember them. You know, just like, you know, just having a good old party all in the middle of a class, these couple of middle-aged guys. And so that song brought them back into this certain time, certain place, a certain culture of the 60s. For that moment, that brief moment, a few of those men, those middle-aged guys, transported themselves out of that classroom, you know, and back into the past. You see, songs have that effect. It's a very powerful tool. It has that effect on people. Now, besides memory retention, and besides defining a particular culture, prolonging a culture, a song can also lift up emotions that at any given time, at any given place, regardless of circumstances, a song can lift you up. In the early church, when the Christians were persecuted, they sang songs to strengthen their faith in their times of weakness. We find that in our scriptures in Acts 16, that it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They were in prison, right? And all the other prisoners were listening to them. A song lifted them up emotionally because it was such a bad time for them. You know, during the era of slavery in America, those who worked on the fields and the plantations, they also sang their song. And these songs of endurance and hope gave them that particular strength that they needed. It took them to another place, out of the fields. It took them to another place to give them that view of the future with the Lord. You know, songs are sung during the good times, such as, you know, when the Israelites, we find in our scriptures, that as soon as they crossed over the Red Sea, they had songs, and it's titled the Song of Moses and Miriam, singing about their victory over the Egyptians. And so a song can also reinforce a culture or a worldview. You know, think about that, the role of a special song that every single nation on this planet seemed to have, right? We call it a national anthem, that song. You know, the World Cup not too long ago, if you ever catch any of that, you will see that when people sing their national anthem, they sing it loudly and they sing it with such pride, right? Because that national anthem, that special song, it unites them. It stands for something. And that's really what our own praise team does for this church, for us, every single Sunday. Right? They reinforce and define the culture of God among his people. That's why we have praise. And they put a lot of energy into it. They put a lot of planning into that. And they do that because it is important to the people of God and the people of this church. And they do a great job at it, at this particular area of service for other people. Now, you know, just allow me to go off tangent just a little bit. You know, I want to say thank you to all of them, you know, not just for this Sunday of praise team. I'm talking about all the praise teams of over the years, as long as I've been here. I mean, you know, over the years, I've watched them, like, you know, let's say rushing through and missing, you know, breakfast, right, in the mornings, you know, to coming here and figuring out how the wiring's got to be reconnected, right, every single Sunday, and even during wintertime. You know, while all of us, including myself and my family, eating downstairs, eating something hot, talking about what we did on Saturday, while they're here, walking into a cold chapel, rehearsing, you know, and every week they pick the right songs, they practice them, so that, you know, we can have this praise time together. So I want to say thank you to all the praise team people, and I'm sure the rest of our church feels the same way. Right, all the different teams throughout the past. Now, I want to talk about a song this morning. I promise you I will not sing anymore for this message. All right, all right. Thank you, brother, thank you. And this song is really quite unique. It's a very special song that I want to talk about. It is a song that is written by God for his people instead of the other way around. All right? Because normally it's the other way around, right? People writing songs for God. Well, this particular song is God's own song for his own people. And as far as I know, there is no other song in the scriptures where God created a song for his people. And I want to begin by looking at Exodus. You could turn to Exodus chapter 32 if you want. And Exodus chapter 32, in this particular chapter, this is where it talks about that famous scene of the golden calf, right? We've seen movies about that. We read this. We did this in Sunday school. And maybe it was even an arts and craft project out of this. All right, so this is the chapter 32, the golden calf. And the setting here is that when Moses and Joshua, they were at the mountaintop and they met with God. So Moses has in his hands, you know, the Ten Commandments, and he's holding them firmly in his hands. And he's walking down with Joshua down the trail. And from far away, he's not even close to the place yet at the camp, but from far away, he can hear noise coming out. And it sounds like, are they being attacked? Is it all right? Because I see it, I hear this big, big ruckus going on. What's going on? And so Joshua, you know, is thinking, well, is it war? You know, are we under attack? And Moses says this, let's put it up here. Moses says that it is not the sound of victory. It is not the sound of defeat. It is the sound of singing that I hear. See, what is happening here is that God's people at that particular time was being corrupted by a new pagan culture that they were exposed to. Right? They're out of Egypt now, and they're now in Canaan, and in this wilderness, they are exposed to a new culture that's emerging. And so this new song that was coming up from God's people reinforced this movement of moving away from God. And they apparently learned this from the surrounding people, the foreigners that were there. And so I want to fast forward a little bit to Deuteronomy chapter 31. All right, so let's skip over to Deuteronomy chapter 31. I'm going to fast forward the story a little bit. Now, here it is where this is Moses' last opportunity to speak to his people, right, the Israelites. Moses is about to die, and God told him so. And so this will be pretty much his last time to give an official public address to his people, the Israelites, the people that he had led for such a long time. And so God told him already that the people will eventually fall away from me soon enough. And so the people desperately needed something before they spiritually fall off the cliff. And so giving them another Ten Commandment lecture doesn't seem like it's going to do the trick. Having Moses lead another Bible study to them again may not be that effective. So God had to serenade a song, a special song for his own people, hoping that that song will make a difference with the Israelites. So we can see the amazing love and the care that goes behind this, that God, the Almighty God, who doesn't owe anybody anything, he is choosing to communicate in such a creative way so that he can get through to his people because he cares for them so deeply. You know, it's like a teacher who cares for the students' learning in class. An uncaring teacher would use the same old methods of teaching from decades ago, right? Without changing a thing. And the class, you know, would get the same old handouts. They would get the same textbook, the same examination as back in 72. And so the attitude is that, you know, when the students do not learn, well, it's too bad for them. But a caring teacher would find different ways to engage the students, to improve, to effectively communicate with the students. That if this type of approach didn't work, well, let's try another approach and so on and so forth, all to improve learning, because a good teacher deeply cares if things are getting through or not. And so likewise, a caring God comes up with this song to communicate that a God of love gave Moses the lyrics to teach his own people his own song, a song that hopefully reminds them and defines them, unites them, a song that uniquely shapes them as a people of God. So Deuteronomy 31, I'm going to read verse 19 to 22. It's up here, or you can read it from your own text. That's fine. It says this: "Now write down this song and teach it to the Israelites and have them sing it so that it may be a witness for me against them. When I have brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey, the land I promised an oath to their ancestors, and when they eat their fill and thrive, they will turn to other gods and worship them, rejecting me and breaking my covenant. And when many disasters and calamities come on them, this song will testify against them because it will not be forgotten by their descendants. I know that they are disposed to do what they are disposed to do even before I bring them into the land I promised them on oath." So Moses wrote down this song that day and taught it to the Israelites. And then in the same chapter, chapter 31, at the very end, in verse 30, it continues to say that, "And Moses recited the words of this song from beginning to end in the hearing of the whole assembly of Israel." Now, this whole song is really quite long. And yet there are several different themes that's part of this divine song. And I encourage you, all of you, to read it through yourself. Perhaps, you know, during your own personal Bible reading time this week, that you would read this through and allow the Holy Spirit to highlight a couple themes to you as well, so that it could speak into your life, right? Now, this song, it takes most of chapter 32. You know, it's full of both invitation of God loving you and you are my people, and also challenge. So it has invitation, it has challenge. And it speaks about his deep love, and also it really calls him out, right? It gives him a strong calling that for them that come back, that you better come back to me when you have such a tendency to wander from me when the good times roll, right? That's really what that song is about. So, you know, let the Spirit speak to you as you read this through yourself at home, okay? I mean, I will briefly share some of the themes that I came up with, all right? But perhaps as you read, you will find some of your own themes as well, all right? The first one that I found was this, and I'll just briefly touch on this, that everything begins and ends with his sovereignty, right? Every song that we like, it's important to know who the author is, and this is no different. You know, when you listen to secular music, it's often wise. I don't know, we don't always do that, but it's wise to know who the author is, what kind of person they are, and perhaps, more importantly, what is the message behind this person's heart? What's coming out of this person? You know, last week we talked about identifying trees by looking at the fruit. That you want to discern music, then you want to see what is the message, what is the fruit that's coming out of these songs. So in this particular song, the first two verses of the song, God reminds his people that I am sovereign, that it begins with me and it ends with me. Where it says that he speaks and both heaven and earth listens. So when God speaks, heaven and earth listens. That tells us that God is above the entire creation order. All that we know of this universe, you know, God's the king of the universe, right? So this is the creation universe here. Everything that we know, and God is here, and he is separate from the creation. And the song not only starts off that way, but it ends in verse 39 where it says, "There is no God besides me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and heal," and I heal. You know, we have a description sometimes where we talk about life as in, well, that's just how the cookie crumbles, right? You heard that saying before. Well, in this particular song, it's telling us, well, you know, God is the one that controls every single bounce of your life. Nothing is random. Another theme that I found out is that God loves his people. I'm going to read verse 10 to 11. It says, he found him in a desert land and in the howling waste of the wilderness. He encircled him. He cared for him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them. You know, we are people that are the recipients of God's amazing love. We know that. And we became Christians, really because of a rescue mission, all right? Not necessarily that it is to enhance my life. That I became a Christian, I accepted Christ to enhance my life. That's not true, because we didn't have a life, not according to this scripture. That there is nothing special about us, nothing special about Grace Faith Church apart from Christ and his work. And so that he rescued you, he cared for you like an eagle that hovers over the nest. And there's an interesting term here that I want to just talk about a little bit. The term is the apple of his eye. You know, it's actually an old English phrase translated from even an older text, from the Hebrew text itself. And the phrase is a simple translation from the original Hebrew word that means like a pupil, right? The eye, all right? You have the white part and the dark part. So the pupil, that's the apple of the eye, right? And there are a lot of different places where this expression is used, and it speaks about, you know, God watching over his people, guarding them very carefully, like the apple of his eye, right? So you and I can think about, like, how careful we are to protect the pupils of our eyes, right? You know, think about, like, in lab class, you put goggles on, right? When there's dust or there's branches coming at you, you know, you quickly dodge, you quickly close your eyes, you clean your eyes, you put the eyedroppers, you do all those things, you close your eyes, to if you sense this danger. So that's what it is. The idea is the same thing, that as one protects his own eye, the pupil, it is like God taking care of you and caring for you in the same way. Now, another theme is this, and I'll just leave it with this. People use God. Pretty simple. That's the theme that I got, people using God. That after God rescued his people and cared for them like the apple of his eye, and the scripture says that they ate well, they grew up strong, and they're not so helpless anymore. They're standing on their two feet. And then verse 15 says, but Israel grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, stout, and sleek. Then he forsook God who made him. You know, truth be told, we're not that far from the Israelites on this one. Because we all have a nature within us that we are close to God when we feel that we really need him because there's danger or stress or uncertainty. And then, you know, when we feel strong and when we feel proud, we are quite independent people. That when times are rough, it's easy to see, God, you're my only savior, you're my rock. And then when prosperity comes, our hearts become clouded with so many other idols. Now, that's the relationship we have with God. If we related to our friends that way, well, they would certainly know it one day. They would know that, you know what, you're just using me. You're not my real friend. You're just using me. And so I have to wonder, how does God feel? You know, how does God feel when we use him? So we're all guilty of this because that's our natural tendency. So these are just some of the themes that I picked out that I discovered by reading this particular song. And again, I encourage you to consume this yourself in your own personal Bible reading time this week, tonight, Friday night, whatever it is. And God is always looking to communicate to you. And we're the ones that sometimes we're not quite ready to listen to him and to hear his voice. You know, God continues to communicate to his people through his perfect means. And he wants to establish this rule of Christ over our lives. And I think here in this passage that we're talking about today, he's attaching a song to that. And so let me just end by saying this. That only a God who is both powerful and a God who is so loving would come up with a song. A song written just for you. That God would give his own people a song. Because the bottom line is that God wants to engage in your life. He wants the rule of Christ to advance in your life, the kingdom to advance within you, starting from the epic center of your heart. So he's constantly giving you new songs to establish and reinforce this culture of glorifying the king. And that's the path that all of us are on, you see. For today, you know, we read like Psalms 40, where it says that he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God, and many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. That's for today. But in the future, all right, when we see God face to face, this is what Revelation says. It says that they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals." And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. You see, that's what a wonderful time it is when that happens, when we have constantly God feeding us, God giving to us, not us to him, God giving to us new songs to sing to him as we glorify him. So he's giving us, I guess, a little glimpse of what it's going to be like when we see him face to face. Let me close by praying, and then we'll have the Lord's Supper. Okay. Father, Lord, we humbly, Lord, acknowledge that we only know a very small percentage of your amazing love to us. And Father, Lord, we acknowledge that you are the sovereign one, that you not only heal, but you also wound. And you wound, Lord, for a purpose, that not only do you bring blessing, but Lord, at times, even though it's hard to believe, you also bring disaster to get our attention, to be used for your purpose. And so, Father, Lord, we acknowledge that you are the sovereign God. And Lord, I pray that as your Holy Spirit leads your people, that as they read, Lord, for their own edification, for their own investigation into this particular passage, Deuteronomy 31, that, Lord, you would speak into them as well. So, Father, Lord, thank you for the simplicity of your truth. Thank you, Lord, that you care for us so much that you want to connect with us through song. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.